The thing is, my luck's always been rotten. Just look at my name. Jean. Not Jean Marie, or Jeanine, or Jeanette, or even Jeannie. Just Jean. Did you know in France they name boys Jean? It's French for John. And okay, I don't live in France, but still, I'm basically a girl named John, if I lived in France anyway. This is the kind of luck I have. The kind of luck I've had since before Mom even filled out my birth certificate. So, it wasn't any big surprise to me when the cab driver didn't help me with my suitcase. I'd already had to endure arriving at the airport to find no one there to greet me, and then got no answer to my many phone calls, asking where my aunt and uncle were. Did they not want me after all? Had they changed their minds? Had they heard about my bad luck all the way from Iowa and decided they didn't want any of it to rub off on them? But even if that were true, and as I'd told myself a million times since arriving at baggage claim, where they were supposed to have met me, and seeing no one but skycaps and limo drivers with little signs with everyone's names on them but mine, there was nothing I could do about it. I certainly couldn't go home. It was New York City and Aunt Evelyn's and Uncle Ted's house or bust. So when the cab driver, instead of getting out and helping me with my bags, just pushed a little button so that the trunk popped open a few inches, it wasn't the worst thing that had ever happened to me. And it wasn't even the worst thing that had happened to me that day. I pulled out my bags, each of which had to weigh 50,000 pounds at least, except my violin case, of course, and then closed the trunk again, all while standing in the middle of East 69th Street with a line of cars behind me, honking impatiently because they couldn't pass, due to the fact that there was a Stanley steamer van double parked across the street from my aunt and uncle's building. Why me? Really, I'd like to know. The cab pulled away so fast I practically had to leap between two parked cars to keep from getting run over. The honking stopped as the line of cars that had been waiting behind the cab started moving again, their drivers all throwing me dirty looks as they went by. It was all the dirty looks that did it. Made me realize I was really in New York City. At last. And yeah, I'd seen the skyline from the cab as it crossed the Triborough Bridge, the island of Manhattan, in all its gritty glory, with the Empire State Building sticking up from the middle of it like a big, glittery middle finger. But the dirty looks were what really cinched it. No one back in Hancock would ever have been that mean to someone who was clearly from out of town. Not that all that many people visit Hancock, but whatever. Then there was the street I was standing on. It was one of those streets that look exactly like the ones they always show on TV when they're trying to let you know something is set in New York, like on Law and Order. You know, the narrow 3- or 4-story brownstones with the brightly painted front doors and the stone stoops. According to my mom, most brownstones in New York City were originally single-family homes when they were built way back in the 1800s. But now they've been divided up into apartments, so that there's one, or sometimes even two or more families, per floor. Not Mom's sister Evelyn's brownstone, though. Aunt Evelyn and Uncle Ted Gardner own all 4 floors of their brownstone. That's practically 1 floor per person, since Aunt Evelyn and Uncle Ted only have 3 kids, my cousins Tori, Teddy, and Alice. Back home, we just have 2 floors, but there are 7 people living on them, and only 1 bathroom. Not that I'm complaining. Still, ever since my sister Courtney discovered blowouts, it's been pretty grim at home.